constellation of things that I work with. And actually, as part of my interest in older adults, I do some intervention research, which led me to work with a group from our School of Journalism called the New Media Study Group. And we have focused on a whole area of health literacy initiatives and how to promote health literacy. So the disability vaccination piece kind of came into the foray because of dealing with autism specifically. So let me share with you this morning a bit about what we discovered around our quest to learn why do people choose to vaccinate their children, and how does that impact the field of autism, but more broadly, how does it have an influence on us in terms of developing interdisciplinary approaches to care as public health social workers. So first and foremost, there's nothing to disclose in terms of financial interests. So basically, I'm just going to talk a little bit about social media and health literacy and walk through, you know, the normal steps that we walk through when we share research-related presentations. My two objectives for today's talk is to take a look at the impact that social media has on health beliefs and securing vaccines, and then secondly, look at how that impact has an influence on interdisciplinary collaboration through public health social work when we take into consideration things like health beliefs. So let's first talk about the vaccine issue. About a sixth of Americans believe that childhood vaccines cause autism, and another third of the population really are not sure. Not only do we know a little about parents, but there's certainly more research that's needed on anti-vaccination beliefs for parents in clinical settings. And there is some literature that suggests that there tends to be a relationship between pro or anti-vaccination beliefs and one's influence by the media and also one's political affiliation, but we're not really sure if those are related or independent, and some researchers tend to think that they're independent. We do know that there is some kind of influence on negative vaccine beliefs, and some of this relates to people who align with alternative health practices or who have some very conservative religious beliefs. Now, the media, that is our health information partners, they seem to think that there's some kind of organizational and media, social media impacts that have information on health providers or information about health and how that affects one's health. And the whole concept of social media may really have a toll on how we practice what we believe in. And, you know, the whole concept of social media is one that's just growing leaps and bounds. And it's an area that we really need to start to explore a little bit more carefully to see how does that affect what people choose to do when they actually go into a health provider. Well, the health belief model, which was originally designed to understand compliance and noncompliance with recommended health behavior, was developed in the 50s. And it was developed by Hochbaum and his colleagues, so I apologize about that. And it's been used for decades to help study populations and health outcomes. And it's driven in part by cues from one's own experience, the social context, and media information. Now, efficacy was a later add-on in terms of self-efficacy to this model. And media may have an impact on efficacy behavior. So what happens when there's multiple conflicting beliefs about one's health action or one's health behavior? So here's the original 1950s version of the model, and as you can see, demographic and sociological variables play a role in how you hold beliefs about something, and those perceived beliefs influence how likely you are to take action. The demographic variables may also play a role in how threatened you may feel, and how serious or susceptible you may feel you are to a particular issue. And both of those variables, susceptibility and threat, will lead to how likely you are to take action. So I've used this model extensively in my work with older adults because it plays a huge role in, you know, how likely people are to take action around helping themselves modify their behaviors. But if you in the disability arena, it also plays a role specifically like with vaccinating children against childhood communicable diseases. And now there's been a lot of literature that contests that perhaps those vaccinations lead to autism. So cues to action, which influence perceived threat, relate to mass communication, what influences we have from the literature or social media, what kind of personal communication we have, and then also personal connection to the illness. So if you yourself may have been, you know, aligned with a friend or someone else in your community that may have had a negative impact as a result of vaccinations, you yourself may be more likely not to go that route. Now, part of the study group that I've worked with has kind of looked at modifying this model somewhat. And in this proposed expansion of the model, we add the efficacy variables and expand to two other potential cues. One is being communication specifically, and cues to action. So as you can see down here at the model, it's health information and health efficacy we've added in. Okay, so this next model, which I'm not going to belabor, takes a look at if you have two beliefs in conflict, and these beliefs are about good and bad effects of vaccines specifically, we should be able to look at both beliefs influence and binary behavior decision making by mirroring the two parts of the model that influence those beliefs. Now, there's a social identity influence that our groups also looked at, and we believe that people are affected by their membership in social groups with belief relevant group norms. And this belief gap model includes things like belief affiliations that may contest the topic of interest, for example, contest the importance of vaccination. And other influences may include like group leader influences or specifically influences that relate to beliefs rather than attitudes. Cues to action can also be driven by one's social identity. So these will include things like for vaccines, people may have multiple conflicting sources of information, and maybe some of the official sources, such as the popular press, social media, etc., may provide also conflicting information to individuals. So the social identity construct provides a framework that helps evaluate conflict that people may have internally or cognitively and determine what they should believe and how to believe particular messages and influences. Now, the efficacy construct relates to the perception that one has in terms of their ability to take care of their own health. And this should be usually a basis for people to acquire knowledge in order to help them more easily make decisions about their health. And this is related to positive change in health behaviors, and it can also be helpful in sorting out, you know, conflicting information about is something positive or negative or have a positive influence or negative influence. And, you know, both are directly and indirectly an influence for parents about whether they should take on vaccinating their children or not and making those kinds of decisions. So this hypothetical model is kind of an add-on to the current model that we have around the health belief framework. And what I want to tell you about that is that in this hypothetical model, we're setting up the background and cues variables up front in that very first set of variables at the very far left-hand side. And through that, we progress through a series of models that that predict subsequent levels of these indicators. For example, serious or suspect for autism and MMR, or health self-efficacy and health information efficacy. They also include things like science and doctor trust, so we have trust and fear, and pro and anti-beliefs, which is vaccine beliefs, so do we believe for or do we believe against, and then previous mass communication studies really have demonstrated the mediating role of efficacy and trust from that exposure to knowledge, and that exposure is being conceptualized as belief systems. So all of these then linearly have an impact on ultimately behavioral outcomes. Now, is that a mouthful? Is that like clear? Are you confused? Are you clear? Let me tell you a little bit about the methods. This is kind of interesting. So what we used was a general population survey, and the sample was recruited by a survey company called Survey Sampling International, and they provide an online survey to a panel of people in the community. They have an active respondent panel that tends to respond to their surveys on an ongoing basis, and so we contracted with them and launched the survey, and it's run for a period of several weeks, and the email is sent to the survey panel and asks them to respond, and they get three cues by the company in order to respond to the survey. And so the survey was out for about a month over that period of time, and during that time frame we recruited 443 participants, basically the sample was about half and half. 53% were female, 77% were white. The interesting thing is the majority of the respondents were kind of middle-aged. 47.4 was the median or the average age of the respondents, and the majority of respondents fell into that 40,000 to 60,000 income range, and all respondents had a bachelor's or associate's degree or higher, which was very interesting to me. So people who tend to be, I suppose, on the internet using social media strategies tend to be the respondents to this. And I'm kind of curious to see if we looked at a different demographic and compared them, how that would actually compare. So the outcome variables that were used in this particular study, there was there were a number of questions that were asked. But for this particular study, we looked at vaccination decisions that people who responded exercised either for themselves or their children. And we took a look at their support for mandatory vaccination policies, and those were the outcome variables. The instrument itself had a number of questions that related to vaccine beliefs. So, for example, government should require parents to vaccinate their children, and on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being yes, they must, and 1 being not at all, were the decrements on the scale. So another question that was part of this would include government should encourage parents to vaccinate their children. Then we also asked, imagine you're responsible for deciding whether or not to vaccinate an infant. How certain are you about that decision? So pro-vaccination beliefs, the mean score was 3.62. And some of the other items that we looked at were science trust, doctor trust, health efficacy, health information, and the seriousness and susceptibility of acquiring MMR and autism. Some other variables that were also included, basic demographics, and then social media use for health information, where you get that health media information, such as magazines, blogs, and otherwise, and then communication, of course, with your doctor visits, and other government entities. We're going to run out of time, so I'm going to quickly go through the results slide. Yeah. So in terms of data analysis, we developed a correlation matrix, and from that correlation matrix, we then ran regression models to test in each block the hypothetical model as dependent variables. And I'm going to just gloss through these hypotheses because we'll run out of time completely. So in terms of our results, we found that there were pro and anti-vaccine beliefs that strongly influenced outcomes, and health information and health efficacy definitely influenced vaccination decisions. So all of these were significant at p equals or less than 0.001. Efficacy also strongly influenced vaccine beliefs, and trust and fear, as well as the media and one's religiosity, played a role or key role in one's belief system, whether or not they would go and pursue vaccinations. So as a result of the data, which I really don't have adequate time to go into, let me tell you a little bit about the conclusions. So what we found is that good information support sources seem to have little impact on the beliefs or outcomes. So uncontrolled sources of health media and social media do have effects, and often they are negative because we don't really know how scientific that material really is. Religious, social identity, and general attitude towards medicine and science may also be hurdles to correct in understanding the use of vaccines. And that's something that, you know, perhaps working in with the ministerial alliances could be helpful. Health self-efficacy plays a central role in translating background characteristics into correct vaccine beliefs. And vaccine beliefs, of course, are complex and multidimensional, but they mirror general medicine and science attitudes. And then, of course, medical and science attitudes play a significant background role in how people do secure vaccines. Personal experience in whether or not people have been influenced by their others, their friends, their neighbors, their community, does not have that same influence. So what does this all mean for us as public health social workers? I guess is the $60 million question, correct? Well, really, I think first and foremost, a clear understanding of how media and health literacy plays a role in building and delivering health messages for parents and for community members is critical. And that's where we play a role as kind of community educators. We really do also need to encourage public health efforts to target community vaccinations in order to take into consideration that role that media plays in health beliefs and action. So one of the other kind of interdisciplinary roles we can play is working with the media group, just and, you know, the media such as journalism and other sources of media groups that translate information to the general public. The Affordable Care Act also today now pushes the inclusion of prevention efforts. So understanding these the outcomes that this role and the ACA has in terms of prevention may also be another place that we as public health social workers play a role in influencing behavioral outcomes. Also, as part of the workforce, we can use data such as studies like this to help motivate change in terms of family beliefs and outcomes that may have negative beliefs against vaccinations. So where do we go with some of this? Well, you know, does an expanded model of this, how does this hold for other health beliefs? So another variable that we have in this is around false prevention with older adults, of course. You know, that's something I gravitate to. But we've also looked at policies related to legalizing marijuana. So that's another place, you know, that I think will be really very interesting to look at how health beliefs play a role. So does boosting health efficacy, will it have an influence then on following up specifically in this case on vaccine beliefs? And does promoting medicine and trust, will that boost health efficacy? Another role and another area is that looking at the role that interdisciplinary collaboration, such as using people like us, public health social workers, how do we then help play a role in mediating those health and health outcomes? And so that's basically my presentation, but I do want to say, you know, as coming at this from a social work perspective and working with a very non-traditional group that we tend to work with as a collaborator, the media, it's been really very interesting, and it's been a great opportunity to help reshape, you know, beliefs about how does person and environment fit and what messages do we have to give to help promote a healthy community. Thank you.